Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National All Vocational Rehabilitation Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded, Tuesday, August 9th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Regina Bowden. Go ahead, Regina.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to our monthly Allstate VR agency call. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We have a special treat for you today. We have our resident expert on timely progress reviews, Alyssa Ness. She's sure to give you a presentation or a general overview on timely progress. We've received a number of questions about timely progress, and so we asked Alyssa to come here and join us today to tell you about that. But before Alyssa speaks on timely progress, we also have our resident expert for ticket program systems concerns, and that is Katie Streibinger. Katie has spoken to you, and she's usually on the phone every month to answer questions. She still continues to work with our Office of Systems in building the new automated payment process for you submitting your payments. So before we have Alyssa on, we'll have Katie on, and then we'll open the floor for questions. So, Katie?
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to give you two updates before we go right to Alyssa. The first is about ticket assignments. SSA is currently investigating an issue with the ticket portal that I wanted to bring to your attention. In some instances, the ticket portal is incorrectly allowing VRs to open cases when the beneficiary is not in current case status, meaning they're not receiving a benefit. These are invalid assignments, and SSA will be removing these assignments from the record after we resolve the issue. We will notify you when the problem is fixed. In the meantime, if you submit a claim for a beneficiary whose case was incorrectly assigned, please be aware that your claim will be denied. When you submit your claims, our technicians review the current pay status, and if they discover that a beneficiary was not in current pay at the time of assignment, they will deny the claim. The second item, there was a training coordinator gov delivery message that went out on Friday, August 5th, announcing TPM's new learning management system, we abbreviate it as LMS, called Blackboard Collaborate. SSA will begin using the new LMS system starting in September to house training materials currently published on the website. In the future, this new system will be used to provide new, non-sensitive training material and will allow us to tailor training to each VR's needs. Each agency needs to designate a training coordinator who will be the primary contact for the LMS system. Your training coordinator will receive the single logon for your agency. Please have the signatory authority on record email Maximus at ttmtraining@yourtickettowork.com by August 29th to let us know who you want your training coordinator should be. And as a reminder, all sensitive materials requiring suitability, for example, the portal training guides and documentation, will continue to be stored separately on the secure website. That is all I have, and I'm going to hand it over to Alyssa next. Alyssa?
Thank you, Katie. Hi, everyone. The topic for today is timely progress review. Okay. Thank you. Next slide. Now, let's look at the objectives of this session. First, we're going to discuss timely progress review fundamentals. Second, we're going to discuss how the Ticket to Work program impacts continuing disability reviews. Third, we're going to discuss TPO requirements. Fourth, we're going to describe the TPO process, including TPR appeals and reentries. Fifth, we're going to describe the service provider responsibilities in the TPR process. Sixth, discuss the TPR implementation schedule. And seventh, we're going to identify the TPR resources that are available to all service providers. Next. We will now discuss timely progress review fundamentals and continuing disability review protection. Next. What exactly is a timely progress review? A TPR is the Social Security Administration's way of tracking the progress of a ticket holder under the Ticket to Work program. Essentially, SSA expects ticket holders to make progress towards financial independence or while their tickets are in the in-use status. TPR is based on guidelines established by SSA through regulations that were effective July of 2008. We will introduce the specific guidelines later in the session. In general, the TPM conducts a review at the end of approximately every 12-month period of active ticket use to determine if bennies are making the expected progress. At the same time, the portal will be opened for service provider input. A TPR pass entitles the bennie to medical CDR protection, meaning disability benefits continue. Usually, CDR protection is granted to bennies involved in the Ticket to Work program who have tickets in assigned status and are making timely progress. However, and this is probably one of the most important things I'm going to say, is that assignment, progress made by the bennie, or payment of services by or to the service provider does not guarantee protection from a CDR. You must consider all aspects of in-use and not in-use, including past TPR failures, successful TPR reentries, and other things. Again, this is probably one of the most important things in the entire PowerPoint. This is where a lot of the problems come up, where your bennies are being pulled for CDRs because even though they're assigned to you, you think you're making progress, or you're getting paid, whatever you're paying them, there is a chance that they failed timely progress 4 and 5 years ago, and somehow they don't understand or you don't know, and this is the reason why you're being called for CDRs. As a service provider, it is important to fully understand and support the TPR process and to assist bennies not only in making timely progress, but also in providing necessary information to the TPM or actually to you to verify that progress. Next. What is a CDR? A CDR is a medical review that the bennie must undergo in order to determine whether he or she is eligible to continue receiving disability benefits. Initially, one of the biggest advantages of participating in the Ticket to Work program is that the bennie is protected from these reviews while the ticket is assigned. This exemption will be renewed for about another 12 months if the bennie passes TPR. Next. With TPR, if the requirements are not met, the ticket will remain assigned to the service provider. But the bennie is no longer protected from CDRs. As you can see by the little chart here, the CDR is not conducted as soon as the protection is lost. Rather, it is conducted when it would have normally been conducted if the bennie had not participated in the program. Again, what is happening is that a lot of times the people can fail TPR 4 years ago, and they are picked 4 years later because they are not in use any longer, And that is when they're actually, that's when the CDR is initiated. Next. Next, you can see the TPR requirements, which are actually sent with most of the TPR notices. Next. This is the actually the beginning of the timely progress review chart. And next. Okay, that's the end of the, these two slides are actually the, no, not next. That's the two, this slide and the previous are actually the TPR review chart, the requirements that are sent with all of the notices. Here actually are the TPR requirements, again reflecting the 2008 regulations. These represent the work and education requirements which must be met at each review level. 10% tolerances for earnings are acceptable in reviews 1 through 4, and 10% tolerances for education are acceptable in reviews 1 to 5. Tolerances are going to be covered much more when we actually get to the portal training. And there will actually be help screens to actually assist you in your adjudication process on the portal. But we're not going to go over any more at this point. Again, it'll be covered in the portal training. For example, the first review requires that a VETI complete in the review period, they complete either 3 months of work at the trial work level, or they receive a GED or high school diploma, or they complete 60% of a full-time course load for an academic year in a college or trade, technical, or vocational training program, or the last possibility is they complete a combination of the work and education requirements. Again, I'm not going to get into combinations at this point. We'll discuss it more during portal training. And what I just said about the first review was actually on the previous screen, because the review chart, it really takes up both of the screens. Next. Okay, now we're going to discuss the actual TPR process. Next. Here is a brief overview of the process, which we're going to be exploring in much greater detail a little bit later today. In step one, SSA checks the earnings records of those bennies selected that month for TPR. If the earnings are sufficient, meaning that they meet the guidelines set forth by SSA, and those are the guidelines that you just saw on the screen, and no further actions are taken, and the Benny continues along the path of self-sufficiency, unaware that a check was even ever made. However, if the Benny's earnings are insufficient, which is usually the case, I can tell you, then SSA contacts the Benny either by mail, which we send, that actually means we send the TPR selection notice, which is the first notice in the TPR process. Also, at the same time as on day one, when we send that TPR selection notice, the portal is open for TPR input by you all, by the service provider. Next. Okay, now I'm going to be talking actually about step two in the little chart from the previous page. If you don't meet the earnings requirement by our systems, which check earnings. The first thing is that will happen is that we're going to actually end up sending the selection notice to if you're selected. And actually, the selection criteria, how do we select the people for a TPR? It's very, very complex. It involves such factors as current pay, CDR classification, assignment, and previous TPR history. But most important here, I want you to realize that when we actually start up the process again and we start actually sending these notices, these selection notices, we're going to begin very, very slowly, probably with at the most 50 cases selected nationwide for the first month. So, again, do not worry about it. It's going to be very, very slow when we start this. Okay, so for step two, if the beneficiary is selected for a TPR, SSA sends a selection notice to the individual at the conclusion of, about every 12 months of ticket in use status. And this is to determine if the Benny is making the expected progress with work and or education. At the same time, the SSA portal, at the same time that we're sending this notice, we open the portal for 55 days to the service providers for TPR input. Again, we're going to get into this in much more detail, but you as a service provider will only be allowed to pass a Benny. You're not going to be able to fail them. That will be maximus. If the TPM receives the SSA 1375 from the Benny, which is actually part of the selection notice, in other words, the Benny actually got the notice, sends it back. There's an enclosed envelope. They send back the form to Maximus. That's what that means. And also, the service provider has not passed the Benny because, again, remember, during this time period, you are allowed to pass the Benny if you can. And the time frames are acceptable. We always are thinking about, like, that you're actually within the 55 days from the date of the notice. Then the TPM actually opens the case and begins the review. We plan to have extensive TPR portal training well before TPR implementation. Next. Okay, the next few slides I'm going to show you, we'll just go through it. This is actually what the first notice is that goes to the Benny. This is the TPR selection notice. It's very long, I mean, especially if you were in review one. But, okay, next. Okay. So, again, this was an example of the TPR selection notice that's received by the Benny. The notice is tailored to the person, including the review level is on there, the review period dates are on there. In other words, when did you need to meet these requirements? The requirements, the questions, everything that is on there is tailored to the person. Specific earnings amounts are listed, and they actually, so the person does not, the Benny does not even have to think about any of this. It's right on there. The 10% tolerances are written in there in reviews 1 through 4. Important here, no mathematical calculations are required at all by the Benny. All they do is check things on that form. All the notices, basically every notice that goes out, and I only gave one example of one because that's pretty much what we are beginning with, they all give 30 days from the notice date to respond. I can tell you that the time frame is generally 55 days, even though we don't say that, and that's in order to allow for mail time and also for contract time. Next. Okay, so with a pass, we call this the initial level. If you have a pass, either through the portal or through that form, basically, CDR protection is extended, no letter is sent, and the next TPR will be in about another 12 months of in-use. Next. For failures, if the Benny fails the TPR, the proposed failure notice is sent, giving an option to appeal. Now, I did not actually include an example of that. I probably could have, but that one, it will go out again if they fail based on whatever, based on when Maximus goes through their adjudication process, or if they're on the 56th day, they're going to fail if nothing has been done. Very important here, benefits are not affected. Just because you fail TPR, it has nothing to do with benefits. The Benny maintains CDR protection for 55 days from the date of the notice release and through the entire appeal process. The individual is subject to regularly scheduled CDRs once the final failure is effective. And actually really important here to you all is that assignment and reassignment are not affected by proposed or final failures. Again, the person can be working with you, assigning, reassigning, doing whatever. It does not matter if they failed a TPR. In fact, all of the notices encourage the Benny to work with the service provider to hopefully help them meet the requirements. But unfortunately, again, what's happening is that a lot of times the service provider does not realize that they have failed, and even though they're working with them, the Bennies are being caught up for CDRs. Next. Now we are going to discuss again, I'm not going to get into it a lot, but some of that appeals and reentries. Next. Okay. For appeals, and this would come after they get the notice of proposed failure. So for appeals, the Benny has 55 days from the date of the proposed failure notice to submit a request for appeal. The notice is very explicit in what is required. You need to send, unlike the initial level, the appeal level requires documentation, some kind of pay stubs, transcripts, whatever. And the requests are mailed or faxed to the TPM. SSA actually makes the final decisions in the appeals. It's actually SSA that's adjudicating them. And notices, unlike initial, where for appeal, initial only failure notices go out. Here, if they appeal, you either get a pass or a fail notice for that. Next. Okay, this is TPR reentry successful. Okay, so after filling a TPR, evidence can be submitted at any time to show that the requirements of the review period have been met. All that has to happen is that the Benny would actually call the call center, and they would instruct the Benny on exactly what to do. We're going to need what, and here, Maximus actually adjudicates these. If it's successful, you're put back into the TPR process. But here we're Maximus is going to need documentation to show that they actually have met the requirements of the review period. It's going to be at a different time period, obviously. It's not because they failed the 12 months at the initial level. If they are successful, the individual earns approximately another 12 months of Sierra protection. In-use status is effective the month and year of the notice. And here, again, with reentries, we always have notices, whether successful or failure. Next. Okay, on TPR reentries, where it is a failure. In this case, the DNA is sent into Maximus. They sent in documentation that they have met the requirements, but on failures, obviously the person, what ends up happening is still not going to be in use. They weren't to begin with. I mean, if they failed and they have to do a reentry, it means they're currently not in use. Well, if they failed here, then they're still not in use. But there is no notification of any unsuccessful action here. In this particular case, this also represents an appeal situation, and the person, it'll be, again, on when we send out the failure decision for the reentry, it'll have exactly the appeal rights and what we need, things like that. And they have about 30-plus days to appeal the decision. Again, these particular ones, like reentry appeals, I'm going to talk about more probably during, the portal training. Next. Okay, the schedule, at this point I'm just going to discuss just really quickly about the tentative TPR implementation schedule. Next. As I said before, we're going to have extensive portal training for all service providers. Probably this is very, very tentative at the end of October. And it's not going to be before then. There is a good chance it will be after. We have other things that have to be accomplished before we actually do the portal training. But believe me, we are not selecting anything. We're not starting up at all before we have the portal training. We expect that everything, all training would take place. We're done everything, and we could begin selections possibly in November. Again, very, very slowly, because we would have to check every single one to make sure that it all seems to go out. We don't want you to have that many to have to adjudicate on the portal, because this is much different than the way it used to be. But again, this is extremely tentative. Next. It's important that you understand your responsibilities in this area to your clients. Next. First, you need to understand the TPR process so you can explain the existence of TPR reviews and how they work. It is important that your bennies fully understand TPR and what the consequences are for not making timely progress. You also want to discuss the importance of providing timely information to the TPM or to you as part of the process. Additionally, bennies will often come to you with questions regarding TPR. This is especially true when TPR selection notices are received by your clients. If you are not able to accurately address the issues, you should contact the TPM and their contact is right there. And finally, it is your responsibility to input EPR information to the portal. And again, that's much different than it used to be in the past. Next. Questions and next. Okay, this is the last slide. If you have any questions or you have anything, you need any additional information, you can always contact the TPM or Maximus at tprhelpdesk@yourtickettowork.com. At this point, I'm done the PowerPoint, and we can open it up for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star, then a number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Eugenia Cox.
Hi, this is Eugenia.
Hi.
A couple of questions on the TPR. One, are the states still being allowed to opt out if they want to?
No. Okay. There's no more opting out. In fact, that was one of the things that it's going to be every state. In fact, one of the first things that's going to happen on day one, when the notices go out, the portal will also be open for 55 days to all service providers, ENs and VRs.
Okay, so when the TPR itself is going to the beneficiary, is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just the actual form, right, on day one, what I call what is called the TPR selection notice, that form, you know, the actual notice and the form, the 1375, which is attached, and the envelope for response back to Maximus, which the Benny would send, it all goes to the Benny. But at the same time that's sent on day one, the portal will be open to the service provider to, if they can, to go in there. To go in there and pass the person. You do not have to.
Okay.
Right. We'll have training.
Okay. Now here's where I'm getting a little confused. What if the Benny sends back as a completed form as best they can fill it out, and then we turn around and do the same identical thing and it maybe doesn't match? Or why are two people being required to do it? I was under the assumption before that when the beneficiary did not respond to it, we were given the opportunity to respond.
Right.
Now we're just kind of doing double duty here. Because I don't know about anybody else, but TPRs are very difficult to do.
Well, remember, it's going to end up going to, definitely, if the Benny responds, it's going to go also to Maximus. So they will actually be able to do whatever. You would only be able to pass the person. Now, I will tell you, in the first 55 days, Maximus is not allowed to do anything until they receive that form back. So in the first 55 days, if you can pass the person, that becomes that's the decision. Pass.
Okay.
If it goes,
determining factor.
Okay. If it goes back, basically it's whoever puts a pass in there first in the first 55 days. If you can pass them, fine. If you cannot, then the system will just wait for Maximus to get the form. Now, if by chance, like what you were saying, let's say you pass the person, and then all of a sudden on day 45, Maximus gets the form back, and from the Benny, it looks like the person would have failed. Okay, at this point, this is how the system is set up right now. It gives you a lot more involvement in the system, the service provider. What would happen if Maximus would have failed the person based on what came in and you've already passed days in that system, but it will become a QA issue. We plan to have heavy QA in this area because this is a lot different than what we did before.
Okay, so if we get them, if we pass them, and then first, then they pass.
Yeah.
So even if they send in either bad information or incorrect information, they will pass. Go ahead.
As long as you put the pass in there before, as soon as Maximus gets the form, it's the 1375, they will go into the system and immediately open up, it's called a work case. Once they open that work case, let's say it's day 45, if you have not passed that person by day 45, you've lost your chance because Maximus has opened up the work case. But they can't open a work case until they receive that form. And I can tell you, it's going to take a while. I mean, by the time the form goes out of SSA through the mail to the Benny, the Benny looks at it and responds, you're probably talking into day 30.
Okay, so we are the ultimate determination as long as we fall within those dates.
As long as you fall between day 0 or day 1 to 55, and you're passing the person, and Maximus has not received anything back from the person, because if Maximus has, Maximus will open up the work case, and that will prevent you from passing the person.
Okay. So, and here's my other thing. There's a lot of states that have opted out. We have never opted out. We've always done them. And I'll tell you right up front, they're not easy to do.
I know.
Because first of all, we may have worked with somebody 5 years ago, and they come back for services. We're working with them for maybe a month or two, and all of a sudden we get a 3 or 4 year review. And we're all scratching our heads going, okay, we didn't start serving them again until 5 years after that. What period of time are they counting? We have to fail them at that point. So none of it makes sense, and people are going to be scratching their heads that have never done these before, because we are always pulling out our hair when we were doing them, trying to figure them out, and it is a lot of work. And now you're saying we are all required to do them.
That's right. But we will have very extensive portal training to go through the entire thing. The portal, I can tell you, the screens on the portal are very, like, they're easy to understand, to check.
Oh.
But you're right. I mean, you have to know what to check. I need to be able to
see
the person.
Yeah, it's not the portal. The portal, we've done them before when we were doing, testing it. The portal, the actual using of the equipment is not the issue. The issue is understanding where you're coming from with the TPR. That's the issue.
Well,
and most of ours are going to fail. I'll be honest. Most of the people who are going to fail because the TPR doesn't just start fresh every single time. It talks about things that happened years ago. And so it's going to be difficult for us to figure it out because, it's just going to be very difficult, and it's going to be so much work on our shoulders where these states that have opted out in the past are no longer going to be allowed to opt out.
I'm going to interject right now. This is Rob. Thank you, Jane, for your comments. I'm going to give other people a chance to call and weigh in with specific comments. We will follow up with additional information as we move forward with this process. And also feel free to reach out to the VR Help Desk with questions as appropriate and to the reference that we gave regarding the TPR for additional information as well. But we will also have additional information. So thank you.
Does that complete your question?
Well, it just basically told me that you're just going to move on, so no. But that's okay. I'm used to it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Your next question comes from Gina Hott.
Hi. So we are one of the states that normally have opted out. And because of the fact that, you know, that's looking at probably, you know, several thousand that will come through to us, and I am the only person that does my job. So that's a lot of additional stuff for just me to handle. So what happens if we don't answer the TPRs? I'll be honest. I mean, there is a chance there's a very good chance I'm just not going to answer those.
Okay. I mean, there could easily be hundreds of them. I know that. Once we get up to speed with this thing, believe me, we're not going to sort like that. Remember that your backup is that Maximus, as long as the Benny responds, is going to get the form, and you're going to open up a work case. That's the backup. The other thing is that I'm assuming that what you mean is that you're maybe the only one that has access to the portal.
No, I am the only one that does my job in the agency.
Oh. Okay. A lot of them, one of the things that we're going to go through in the portal training is that, honestly, maybe not everyone would have access to the portal. It isn't really even going to be that. It's going to be that the person, the counselor that works with the individual that has the TPR, what's going to end up probably happening is that when whoever goes into the portal and sees that there are 20 of them pending, they're going to have to basically send a screenshot to the counselors who have those bennies, and then the counselors will actually complete the screen and then send it back to the portal person, and then the portal person, if they can pass them, they will. But for your particular, in your instance, honestly, you're going to have to do the best that you can. I mean, I know that we could be talking hundreds of them, okay, but not initially.
Our counselors don't do those either. They're not trained on it. We have a 50% turnover rate. It would be a nightmare. And besides that, I am the only person. There's other people with clearance, but I'm the only one currently that uses the portal. And, I mean, so literally I'm the only one that does that and plus other things for the agency. I mean, so.
Well, remember, I mean.
In other states are like that as well.
It's giving you, the service providers, more, I would say, leveraging the whole system. But, I mean, ultimately, it goes back to the old system. As soon as Maximus receives the form from the Benny, they immediately can open, they will immediately open the work case and start adjudicating. So it's true. I mean, either you pass the person, if you can't pass the person, you don't. If you don't get enough, you don't get around to doing all of them, let's say there are too many of them. But again, the main thing is that what we're going to cover more in portal training, that even though the portal, you would have to go to the counselor and say, okay, do they have, you know, like, have they been working or whatever the requirements are for the review. I mean, I can't imagine that in all instances that whoever does the portal is going to know these answers. They're going to have to, like, send the screen, basically, which have the requirements, to actually the counselor. And they would say, oh, yeah, they've been working, whatever. This actually, honestly, we're going to see how it works. This is how it was set up. But it almost makes it a lot fairer or more fair to the Benny. It gives them a better opportunity, I think. Like, it's like two levels that somebody can actually respond. If you can't miss a person, you don't worry about it. Again, Maximus is basically the backup.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Tom Sharif and Eric Smith.
Hello. I want to second what you've already heard from Eugenia and Gina. I know with the numbers that we deal with in terms of tickets in use. Right now it's about 12,000. Even if Maximus handles a part of that volume of TPRs, there's no way we can handle a significant volume. We're barely able to keep up with our current work right now and is currently staffed. So I really predict this is going to be a significant problem for the new portal. And I strongly suggest you rethink this process whereby state VR agencies are asked to provide this additional level of additional work. I really can't see how it's going to work.
So Tom, this is Rob. Thanks, and I want to thank
Ron.
The other comments as well.
Mm-hmm.
We hear you. I'll circle back to my folks, and we'll talk a little bit about this. But we're taking note of the comments that are being made and are aware of the concerns, and we will discuss these things internally. Okay.
I really appreciate that. Thank you, Rob.
Yep. No problem.
All right.
And again, please remember that honestly. If we realize that you have so many Bennies, I mean, believe me, we know that. If you cannot, for whatever reason, pass this person, I mean, whether it's they failed or they really did fail or it's just too many and you can't go through all this, that's fine. I mean, the way that it's set up, it's perfectly fine that Maximus is going to still get these forms from the Benny. That's the way it's set up now. This is just adding something. It's almost like an extra, like, beginning layer that, like, possibly you can pass a person, which would be great. I mean, it's great for the Benny. So whatever you can do is perfectly fine. But if you have issues, and again, we're going to go through a lot of this in portal training, but if you can't handle all of this, and we know that it's going to be really, really hard because you're going to have so many Bennies that are going to come up every month. I mean, please remember, this thing is still Benny-driven. That's the way the regs are written, and the letter goes after the Benny. The Benny is instructed not to go to you all. The Benny is instructed to send the results back to Maximus. So don't worry. I mean, again, this is just something that is just an added thing good for the Benny. But, I mean, if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Okay. Thank you for hearing us.
Okay.
Hi, this is Kate Stibender. I just wanted to chime in real quick about the portal. The old portal used to push TPRs to you that you needed to take care of or work on, which is why many VRs opted out because they didn't want to keep getting reminders that there were TPRs for them to take actions on, and they were not going to take actions on those TPRs. In the new portal, you actually have to seek out the beneficiaries who have a pending TPR to act on it. We are not going to be pushing any information to you. You're not going to get emails. You're not going to get alerts. It's an existing field in the portal right now. It's called pending TPR. It'll just be a Y. If you can handle TPRs, then you will act on that. If not, then there's nothing for you to do. It is going to be a little different, which is why we're not talking about there being an option to opt out, because it's something that you can decide on your own.
Okay, does that complete your question and answer?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from David Leon.
Hi, guys. Thanks, and it sounds like we've already had a robust discussion on the amount of additional work, although based on Katie's last statement, it also sounds like potentially nothing changes. So I want to go back to the question I asked around this, which has to do with when a client fails a TPR and they are no longer listed in use, I want to make sure that I understand correctly that, A, that client's ticket is not assignable to a different employment network while we are providing services, and I want to know what the mechanism will be for that case down the road if we're providing services for several years, and will it just automatically go back to in use if they suddenly meet the requirements? How will that work? What will happen in terms of a cost reimbursement claim? Will the monies and time spent during a period when the case was in TPR failure not be recoverable by our agency? And the last thing I want to just ask about, or say as a reminder based on other questions, we have done a lot of work to keep the ticket behind the scenes so our counselors can focus on counseling and guidance to help our clients get to where they want to work their way off of benefits. And if VR is involved with helping or making sure someone is reporting that correctly and assists in any way with failing a TPR, it could adversely affect that counseling and guidance relationship to where many of our clients suddenly decide it wasn't worth the effort. And I think there's a big risk there.
Okay, the one part that I can respond to has to do with, okay, if somebody fails the TPR at some point in the past, for whatever reason, well, obviously it's because they didn't meet the requirements, they have got a failure on their record. It can be, like, this can go on, they can have that failure literally for years and never be called for a CDR for whatever reason, for many, again, many reasons that it haven't come up for one. There are monetary reasons. There's a lot of reasons. But within that time frame, as soon as they fail that TPR, anytime after that, the person, as soon as they meet the requirements of whatever they failed, they should go back, they should call up the call center, and we call it re-enter. That's what that whole thing was about, re-entering. You're actually re-entering the TPR process. And hopefully once you can meet the requirements that you failed, it's not the same time frame. It would be more current, most likely. The Benny would work with the call center. Once they can re-enter, then at that point, they're put back into in-use status. And at that point, from that point on, when they're in use, I can tell you they're not being called for a CDR as long as they have re-entered and they're in use. That part I could, and again, as far as assignment, reassignment, you can fail TPR, you can assign anytime you want, you can not be in use after failing TPR, and you can assign, reassign, you can do anything you want. But again, you are vulnerable for a CDR because you have failed TPR and you're not in use. Now, as far as payment, I can't speak to that.
Well, and that goes back to one other question. Will the re-enter process be in whatever letter a client gets after they fail a TPR?
And yes.
Because you won't know.
The re-entry process is not only in, let's say, the failure notices of, like, they're in basically every single letter. Whenever you failed anything, it will always say, in fact, it's even in the initial selection letter, it'll say, it does not use words like reentry. We try not to use those kinds of words with the public. But will we say, like, oh, if you don't meet the requirements of your review, we always say continue working with your service provider, and we also say as soon as you have met the requirements, you can always call the call center. What that means is that essentially that means that you're going to fail TPR on the initial level, and you hopefully will re-enter by calling the call center. But again, the entire process is really Benny-driven. That's where all the notices go. That's where all the instructions are. But we certainly tell the Bennies to work with and to continue working with their service providers to help them.
Thanks, David. This is Regina. Okay. Operator, we're coming up on our hour, so we can take maybe two more questions, and then we'll have to wrap it up.
Okay, that is perfectly okay. And actually, we have one question remaining. So our final question comes from Mike Hermanson.
Yes. Most my comments have been passed on before. I have nothing new.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you. Again, if you have any additional questions, if anything comes up again, we're not ready at all to start this process, and we certainly are going to have extensive portal training way before we do selection. But if you come up with anything that either now or later at any point, I gave you the contact. That is actually the TPM contact. You certainly can send questions in through there. I mean, I guess you also send in things, I mean, through the VR help desk here. But basically anything through TPR, you certainly just send it in through it with a list screen of the PowerPoint, and we definitely will respond. Thank you.
And I just want to add again that we will, under aware of your comments and concerns, we'll take them internally. This is a really technical process that's about to convert into the portal. And I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay. And so aware of that, you know, in terms of communication strategy and other things, obviously we want to be supportive and we want to be clear in what we're communicating. So we'll circle back and follow up with all of you on this matter as we get closer to the launch of it. Appreciate your comments. And Mark,
I'm sorry for interrupting you, Ron. It just seems to me, this is Mark Green, that much of the conversation we've been having here and much of the questions you submitted to Alyssa have to do more with policy and not so much with the portal and the new procedures. The policy is prescribed by regulations and not something we could just take a pencil and cross them out. So in March, we published an advance notice of proposed rulemaking asking for comments on possible changes to the regs. I know many of you responded. Thank you very much. We intend to proceed with this long and detailed process because they're complicated and hope to publish a notice of proposed rulemaking. And again, ask you to look carefully for that. We'll let you know when that comes up. And that's the forum for discussing changes of program rules. So thank you very much for the thought. We'll continue to take a look at what comes in, but just keep in mind, program rules are the rules. All we're doing now is trying to figure out what the best way to use the portal to implement these rules.
Right, and where we can, and Mark makes a good point, where we can find opportunity. So there's regulations and then there's procedures, and where we can find some flexibilities, obviously, we want to implement the process to the fullest extent we can as we're required to do so. But we also want to make it workable. So we'll have discussions about that as well. So I appreciate your comments. And thanks to everybody here and the folks on the phone for your time and participation. We appreciate it. And thanks to Alyssa for the presentation.
And remember, if you guys have any questions that are not related to the TPR, you can still contact your help desk. We saw a couple of questions in the chat line, and so you can still get those questions asked. As Rob and Alyssa and Mark have said, you know, Alyssa said this is a slow process. We're rolling it out slowly. So remember, there will be training. I'm just reiterating that. There will be training, so all is not lost. We'll work through this with you. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you next month on our September call.